Let us now look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we have come to the third day of the camp. Surely, Lord, Thou hast been very good to us, and we have learned much from Thy word. And as we continue to look into Thy sacred scriptures, we ask of Thee, Lord, that You will continue to lead and direct us. Surely, O Lord, there are many things that we need to learn. Grant Thy children, therefore, a teachable spirit, and help us, Lord, even to understand Thy word, to believe Thy word, and also to obey. So we commit all these things into Thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you all had a good outing today. Outings today, right? So, do you all enjoy the gardens by the bay? Yes? Good weather today? Not so hot, right? Because it rained a bit in the morning. And I was quite thankful to see that in the afternoon it was nice and sunny. So I hope you all enjoyed yourself there. Good. Right, 2 nights ago, we began our study on what it means to be brave. And then we saw in the book of Deuteronomy exactly what is true bravery. Right, true bravery means that, you know, you are not foolhardy in terms of pursuing sin, in terms of putting one's life unnecessarily at risk. That is what the world would like to do, and that is how the world would like to define as bravery or a man of courage. But here, when we talk about being brave, we're referring to being brave with respect to fearing God and His word, and to be on His side, right? To be with Him, to stand on the side of truth, right? And not compromising, right, the faith. And we saw that, you know, as long as we do so, the Lord is with us. And as long as the Lord is with us, there is no reason why we would lose the spiritual battle, right? Because the Lord is almighty. The Lord is the master of this universe. There's no one that can fight against God and win. Right? No matter how powerful the enemy is, right, they are nothing compared to God. Yea, even the nations are like a drop of water in a bucket, right, to the Lord. And so, right, we ought to be brave. And of course, when we talk about being brave, it also means that, you know, we must make sure that in our life we are not distracted. If we are distracted and we are entangled by the things of the world, very soon we find that we are walking further and further away from the Lord. And then we know that the Lord is not with us. And so when temptations come our way, when we are confronted with various different circumstances and situations, right, all the more we will be afraid, because we know that we are not walking right with God. He is not our side, and we know we cannot win this battle. And so therefore, make sure in our lives we do not have such distractions that will pull us away from Him. The sin which so easily beset us, well, make sure we let go of it. So that is what we have learned with regards to the previous message, right, in Deuteronomy chapter 21. And now, here in Acts chapter 5, well, this is one very good example of what it means to be brave, to stand for the Lord. Right? And basically, to stand for the Lord means we rather obey God, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, this does not mean that, you know, like what in the world today, you know, they would like to say, oh, we are anti-establishment, we are rebellious people, we will never listen to authority. Now, this kind of attitude is wrong. And we know that because of the fifth commandment, right? The fifth commandment teaches us to honor our fathers and our mothers, which are God-given authority over us. Right? We do not choose our parents. Right? God is the one who placed us in our families and set our fathers and our mothers to be head over us. And this in turn, right, also speaks of how in this life, right, whatever is God's given authority over us, so long as they do not ask us to do anything that is contrary to the scriptures, well, we must obey. And that includes the government authorities, of which there is this rising movement, especially among youth today, right, to want to rebel and to want to go against. It's quite interesting to note, right, for example, how in many countries, right, like for example in Hong Kong, who are those who are anti-government over there? You read newspaper, Hong Kong? Yes? No, don't read, right? How about the older ones? Rachel, yes? We read Hong Kong? Yes. The people who are so-called very, very, very pro-democratic, inverted comma. Yeah, young boy and a young woman, right? Yeah, very young. The one that are driven out of court. Well, very young. And then you look at today's newspaper, when they talk about those radicalized for ISIS to go against establishment, they are all 30 years and under. With five of them, of course, ladies. Like 30 years and under. When you look at the countries, you know, in the West, when they go out in the riot, and then you pan, you just go and observe who are the ones that are rioting. Look very carefully at their faces. You realize that most of the time they are students. Well, students, the adults have no time because the adults got to work. Like the students, they go out there and they rebel. They want to bring down the government as though, right, by creating enough chaos and confusion, it's going to help the situation. Now, this is not the way to go about doing things, right? This is not what we mean by obeying God rather than man. In fact, this is called disobeying God because you are going against what is God's appointed ordinance, right? Divine ordinance over your life. Right? So understand this now. If you have disagreement, how to go about it? Well, today's passage will inform you. Okay, so firstly, understand when we talk about obey God, like we ought to obey God rather than man, it does not mean that we cannot obey man. Okay, that is something that we need to understand. Okay, rather, this means that if men want to force us to do something that is not according to God's word, then there is no way we can go according to their wishes. We must always follow God. Right? And that is exactly how the apostles were like in those days. Especially in this case, you have Peter and John. Now, what we see here in Acts chapter 5 is best seen in conjunction with the events that happened before. Okay, if you know the events that happened before, well, what is happening here in Acts chapter 5 verse 17 all the way to 33 will become even richer to you. Now, what happened in the events before? Now, you turn with me firstly to Acts chapter 3. Now, in Acts chapter 3 verses, in the whole of Acts chapter 3, what we have is this miracle that was at Gate Beautiful. Right? Now, Gate Beautiful was a gate that was just outside the court of the women. And therefore, in order to go into worship, right, both the women and the men, well, they will first have to pass through this gate, right, that is called Beautiful. Called Beautiful because it was made of Corinthian brass, which was apparently brought to the place by a person called Nicanor, who sacrificed his life in order to save this brass by a sea. Right, so two other names, Nicanor Gate and Corinthian Gate. And so there was this lame man down there, right, which... if you read Acts chapter 5, you realize that he was 40 years and above. Or rather, Acts chapter 4, I believe, right? 40 years and above. And so, right, 40 years old, above 40 years old, Acts chapter 4, verse 22. So, he was above 40 years, he was lame from birth. So, 40 years at least, or more than 40 years of being lame, cannot walk. And he was there. And then this man suddenly was healed, right, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he was leaping and rejoicing. And so the Sadducees, they were very, very unhappy, especially when Jesus Christ preached about Christ and asked the people to repent. And so what did the Sadducees do? Right? You look at Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Okay? And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Okay, who are the people that we see here in Acts chapter 4? We have firstly the priest, we have the captain of the temple, and then the Sadducees. Which group was missing? Which group was missing? Usually we talk about the Sadducees, we will usually talk in conjunction with who? Yes, Joshua? Pharisees. Pharisees, right. The Pharisees were not here. Okay? So, question. All those in secondary school, will answer. Okay, who are those in secondary school? We have Devon, David, who else? Gershon? James, okay. All the secondary school one first, huh? Okay, what is the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What do the Sadducees believe in or do not believe in? Huh? Nobody knows the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Or you all just read the scriptures and then you see Sadducees and Pharisees and never ask, what are the difference between these two groups? Do you know that the Pharisees and Sadducees were supposed to be enemies? But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become bosom buddies, right? Because they have a common enemy. Right? So what's the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Yes, David, you know? Or you want your older brothers to help you? Older brothers to help you, huh? You see, he's so happy already. Okay, older brothers will help. Okay. Some of my study Bible start flipping already. Okay. James!
Those that don't believe in the resurrection after death.
You ask me, is it? Okay, first answer, what's the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees? You're right, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection after the dead. Resurrection from the dead, rather. Okay, never mind. Okay, at least James answered something. Okay, come. How about Gershon? What's the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees? No? Don't know. Bevan? Don't know. Okay, let's go on to slightly older already. Okay, all the tertiary students. Okay, Javen. Don't know. Difference between Pharisees and Sadducees? Don't know. Okay, how? Gideon? Mattathias? Oh no. Going down the road already, eh? Okay, Brittany? Don't know? Okay, Joshua? Oh, wait, forgot Matthew thing.
They said this is like they believe in the principality power of the Pharisees. The religious one, then the Sadducees is the one that...
Okay, Pharisees are those that are fundamental in their beliefs, right? More fundamental, separatists, right? That's the meaning of the word Pharisees. Okay? Whereas the Sadducees, they were like the liberals, right? So they were basically Pharisees were the so-called separatists of those days. Sadducees will be like the liberals of those days, right? Just like today, we also have separatists and what? Liberals today, okay? Modernists, okay? So, please understand this, okay? Now, being liberals, of course, they were very liberal in their understanding. James rightly said that one thing they did not believe in was the resurrection from the dead. Because he's very clever, he looked at verse 2, right? He put one and one together, he knows that surely they must not have belief in the resurrection from the dead. What is the other thing that they did not believe in? Joshua.
They do not believe that the Sadducees, right?
Mm, Sadducees.
They do not believe in the oral law. So they only believe in the first five books.
Okay, some more?
That's all I can find on the line.
That's okay, find on the line. Oh dear. Okay. Some more, Mattathias? Very important, because this will affect what we will read later on, you know.
Oh, the Pharisees believed that God will send Messiah.
Okay, okay, okay. Yes, they all believe that God will send Messiah. Yes.
But Sadducees don't believe.
Okay, some more? Very important. The main two things. Okay, Esther? Yes? No? Okay, never mind. Okay, Sarah? Yeah, how did I miss out Sarah? Don't know, huh? They do not believe in angels. Right, the reality of angels, they don't believe they are angels. Remember, later on, they don't believe in angels, okay? So, what do we have here in Acts chapter 4? Firstly, they do not believe in the resurrection. And then, they are very grieved. Why? Because this... two apostles, they were teaching about the resurrection from the dead, especially through Jesus Christ. Firstly, they really don't like this name called Jesus Christ. Right? They regard him as somebody who is contrary to what they believe. They regard him as apostate to the faith. Right? Otherwise, they would not have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Right? They wouldn't have crucified him. True? And moreover, these people came and then say Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and so therefore there is such a thing called resurrection from the dead. Look forward to the resurrection of the dead, the heavenly hope, the resurrection hope. So obviously they were very, very angry with this, and so what do? Verse 3 tells us they lay hands on them, put them in the hole until the next day, for it was now eventide. Now despite what they do, many of the people that heard the word believe, and the number that believed was about 5,000. Then what happened in Acts chapter 4 verse 5? Now, they assembled all together. You have Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and there's many of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And so they asked Peter, right, he asked them, by what power or by what name have he done this? Peter then answered the very famous statement that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, then what? Whom God raised from the dead. Wow, very daring, huh? Right? Because this group of people, the Sadducees, remember, the Sadducees were considered also professors of those days. Two groups of people were very well respected. Number one, the Pharisees. Number two, the Sadducees. They were respected as holy men of the day. Now, the Sadducees were respected, why? Because many of the Sadducees were also the priests of the temple. Okay, they were also the priests of the temple. Okay, that is why later on in Acts chapter 5, you realize in verse 17, right, then the high priest arose up, and all they that were with him, which is the side of the Sadducees. Okay, so the Sadducees, many of them, they belong to the priesthood. Okay, and so they were from part of the Sanhedrin, they were from the group of the people that were in charge of religion in those days, and also the religious courts. They hold a lot of power. And the way the Romans rule, as long as these things do not deal with the Roman law, they will let the religious court of the Jews handle everything pertaining to things in the region of Judea. So these were people with a lot of power. Okay? And they were people that were well respected, and these were people who say there's no such thing as resurrection of the dead. And then you just imagine Peter and John telling them, no, there is such a thing called resurrection of the dead. Firstly, Jesus Christ will be crucified as risen again from the dead. And now, all of us who repent from our sins and believe in Him, we shall not perish, but one day, but we will have everlasting life, and one day we shall also be risen from the dead, just like how Christ was risen from the dead with a glorified body. You just imagine that. Right, and we tell, and somehow you tell them, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, who were these people that were speaking these words? The Sadducees, they noted that these people that were speaking to them, Peter and John, they were unlearned and ignorant men, meaning that they were people who do not know letters, people who do not know words, they were illiterate fishermen, and yet they had this bonus and this knowledge to be able to stand up against them. Now you realize that the way Peter presented his argument was not disrespectful. He just simply stated firmly the truth. Right? He did not say, I want to go to war, I want to throw all these things against you, right? He just simply says, this is the truth, this is what is in the scriptures, the resurrection of the dead is the doctrine of scriptures, that's it. What happened? Well, they were very scared, right? So they went aside, they conferred among themselves, what should we do? Because indeed there was this miracle that was seen, right? Well, they asked for and threatened them that they speak no more in this name. Well, how did Peter and John answer them? Verse 19. Right, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they threatened them, but they can find nothing to punish them, they let them go. Right, because everybody saw that miracle, and so therefore if they want to punish him, it will make no sense. Right? The evidence is just before the eyes of the people. So, for the time being, they can do nothing to these people. They just let them go. Hopefully, by threatening them, they will no longer speak in this name. Right? The name of Jesus Christ. But what happened in Acts chapter 5? Acts chapter 5 verse 17. Well, apparently, they did not stop. They continued to preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ. So, this time round, they were filled with indignation. Right? Verse 17 of Acts chapter 5, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. Okay, and they were filled with indignation. Now, this word indignation not only means that they were very angry, but this is the word where we get the word for jealousy also. Okay, remember we studied godly jealousy in the Sunday school? Right, but of course this is not the right type of jealousy, this is the wrong type of jealousy. They were very jealous that these two men, who were supposedly ignorant and unlearned men, they were getting more attention and they were becoming more popular than the Sadducees. And so they began to be very jealous, and so they become very angry in their hearts, and so they decided that they had to do something about the whole situation. They laid their hands on them one more time. So remember, they have been laid hands before once. We have gone through trial once. And that time, first thing they spoke about was resurrection from the dead, which was something that the Sadducees did not believe in. Second time, they lay hands on the apostles. Again, they put them in the common prison. Okay, common prison whereby most of the normal criminals, they will be there. Like together with the petty criminals that you'll find on the streets. Okay, so they were not given special treatment this time around. Not house arrest. Okay, common prison. With all the other thieves, all the other murderers, they were put there. Okay? Now, God always has a sense of humor. Look who is the one that came to save them. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth. See that? So, two things which the Sadducees commonly deny, by these two things they were proven wrong. Firstly, resurrection from the dead. Very clearly, the apostles preached this truth, vindicated or authenticated by the miracle which they have done, right? Because of the lame man at Gate Beautiful. And so therefore, the Sadducees had nothing to say. Secondly, the Sadducees did not believe in angels. The second time, when they put the apostles into jail, what happened? It was an angel we save the apostles. So the Sadducees could not have been any wrong. Okay, they were truly, truly ignorant in the understanding of the scriptures, even though they are holy men. Nevertheless, the apostles had already gone through much, isn't it? Now, you put yourself in the apostles' shoes. The first time you speak, you go through all this kind of trouble. No, in terms of the court trial, in terms of all these things. I don't want to go through court trial. Even when I went through for the ordination exam, I had my own teachers to examine me. They were my friends. Well, I already very scared. I'm very scared. I don't want to go through it again. I do not know whether I need to go through some more or not. But I don't want to go through. It was a horrible experience. First one, 2 hours, 30 minutes already, come out face white. Second one, well, I think was also about 3-4 hours. All questioning. After that, wow. Halfway through already, no strength to speak already. Then, the mind fried. This was just teachers questioning me. And they were supposed to be friends, they are not enemies. No, all these are enemies, no. Enemies. Bear in mind, they are enemies, okay? They were not friends. Okay? So right now, let's say I ask your question, right? I'm not enemy, right? Some of you already shake already. Imagine if this is a person really out to kill you for life, and not just one person, we have a whole council of them. And then you have to stand by, firstly, one overnight trial. Already tiring enough already, and then you have to endure. Now, second time, you are caught, put to trial, put to jail. How will you respond? Honestly, if you give to me, maybe I will be very tempted to say, just give up. Now that the angel released me out of jail, happy, go and run away, go to another part. I don't want to stay in Jerusalem anymore. Right? But you watch what the angel say. And this would be, therefore, the test for all of us in this life. Go! Right? So go means what? Go out of jail. What? First command, very easy, right? Very happy, go. Right? Now I am free. I can go forth. Next, stand. Stand where, Lord? Okay, never mind. I hear what you say. Go, stand. And then, what is the next command? The third command is, speak. Right? So go, stand where? Speak in the temple. So stand in the temple. No, but not just stand in the temple and say nothing, because you stand in the temple, you say nothing, everybody see, so powerful, you can escape from the jail. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then say, thank you very much, now I go. I see, okay, right? And then the Sadducees also won't find much problem with it, because their main problem is not, their presence. Their main problem is what they speak, isn't it? They took great offense with their doctrine, because they are very scared that if people follow their doctrine, they will no longer follow the Sadducees. Just like how the Sadducees were great enemies of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees' doctrine contradicted their doctrine. So they were very angry with them. Okay? So, if you go, if you stand, no problem. Right? The people will probably say, wow, how wonderful God is, praise the Lord, and then you say, okay, bye-bye, I just go away. That is very easy. But to go, to stand, and to speak, very different. Now, the question is, what then are they supposed to speak? Like, they have no choice, but they were commanded by the angel to speak. Not some, not most, but all the words of this life. In other words, the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God, without compromise. You don't dilute the message. You don't compromise whatever you need to say, even if it means that one more time they will come and find fault with you, they will come and give you trouble, you still say the same words. You do not detract from the message. You do not corrupt your testimony. You do not try to present a Jesus Christ that is different from that of the scriptures. You still go and do the same thing. Now, that is really the test. Because sometimes in life, we go through the first test, we can pass. The second test, we can pass. Then later on, when people come, the third test, the fourth test, the fifth test, the sixth test. Yes, first two tests, brave. But will our bravery be consistent through our life? That is the key. Because remember, there are many kings. There were many kings of Judah. Some became well. And then, end of still well. But there were many who began very well, and then after that, they compromised the faith. Jehoshaphat was one, right? Asa, another one. And so, young people, this is something that you need to understand, because it does not mean that when you have fought and won battles in the past, you were brave in the past, it means you will continue to be brave. They will consistently brave. In order to obey God rather than men. That consistent bravery. Go. Stand. Speak in the temple. No other place. The very same place which is the seat of the Sanhedrin. Okay, the seat of the high priest. You go there and then you speak to the people all the words pertaining to this life, pertaining to eternal life. Right? And so what do? Did they obey? Yes. Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together. And see, one more time, see? The same story repeats itself. One more time, and this time the whole senate, all the senate of the children of Israel, were all the elders sent to the prison to have them brought. What happened? They went to the prison, officers came, found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, well, the prison truly found me shut with all safety. Well, they can go out even with the prison doors locked. Okay, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Okay, and when you talk about all these keepers, take note, they are professional keepers. Huh? They are not like us Singaporeans, when we go and do our guard duty, we are all sleeping. Right? Because we are so used to good life, we let down our guard. No, huh? These people in those days, they are fierce soldiers, you know, who are keepers before the doors. They open, they are asleep. They opened and they found no one within. Okay, then verse 24, the high priest, the captain of the temple, remember these few, did the first interview, and the chief priests, they heard these things, they began to worry, how much would this thing grow? So once again, they came, and they told them, right, so they came, one, and told them, behold, the men which you put in prison, they are standing in the temple and teaching the people, so they don't even need to go far to find them. Wow, so daring, they escaped from prison instead of running away, like all prisoners are doing. They are now in the temple and they are somehow teaching the people. Oh, I must really teach them a lesson. That's how the world would think. And really, they went there to teach them a lesson. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. Interestingly, without violence, why? Because like people of the world, they feared the people. They feared the people. Not God, they feared the people. Okay, so you realize that the difference between believers and unbelievers is this. The believers, they would rather fear man rather than God. They would rather obey man rather than God. Right? Because they fear the people. The people is the deciding factor of what is right and wrong. And so therefore, for example, you next time, let's say you grow up to be a future leader in the church, let's say, or at home, or at any fellowship group. A difficult situation arises. How would you go and solve the problem? Oh, let me go and collate opinions. Okay, let me go and find. Okay, now how many Ebenezer people are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, let me add Eugene inside, okay? Because one additional person is always better, right? 13 better than 14, huh? Right, always one better, right? Based on statistics, right? The bigger the sample size, the more accurate. Yes, anybody here learn statistics in JC? Yes? Right, bigger sample size, right? Am I bringing you good memories of your exam coming up? Right, statistics. Bigger the better, right? So bigger sample size. Let's add UG inside. Okay, let's do a vote. Okay, now such a situation has happened. Now, should I do A? Or should I do B? Oh yeah, how can you do B? You do B, we are very angry, no, you affect our livelihood, no, you affect us, no, we don't like, no. This person, you want to go and deal with him, he is our friend, no, how dare you go and offend him, and then he go away. He is Mr. Popular in Ebenezer, you cannot chase him away, you chase him away, we all leave. Then Ebenezer maybe only left with Rachel alone. With Rachel alone, all the rest go. How? So Rachel will do this A, B. If she do that, that means she fear man rather than God, isn't it? I'm just using it as an example, okay? Rachel. If she do that, that means she fear man rather than God. Because she sees. What is the decision, whether it will make Ebenezer happy or not? If it makes Ebenezer happy, I go by this decision. If this will be the way. Rather than to follow and to see. What is that which God says? And if God says that this certain situation I have to deal strongly in this manner, I have to go along with it. There's no other way. Because what is pleasing in the eyes of God is not numbers, but His faithfulness to His word. That's it. That's it. A strong Ebenezer, a strong church, is not defined by the number of people in the church. It's defined by whether or not the people are ready to follow and obey the Holy Scriptures. That's it. And how much they know of God's word and are willing to follow it. So, with regards to all of you, let's say you grow up and then people come. Next time you become parents, right? Because very soon Ebenezer will become parents, right? You look at Shomerim, right? Some of your leaders already grew up to Shomerim, right? At least one, right? Honghao is now there, right? Honghao very soon going to get married, God willing, right? Very fast. A large number of you going to get married, and then when you all go into your family life, it will be the same. The world will tell you, this is the way you should bring up the kid. Go to this place, go to that place. Okay, follow this way of bring up the children. You know, focus on the family, right? There's one that pretends to be Christian. Focus on the family, 93.8, but actually uses a lot of psychology. And a lot of people listen to it. See, go and listen to focus on the family. Follow what he says. Oh, very good. This is the way the world goes. And then go and look at the rest of the people in the church. Oh, of course, we pray that the rest of the people in the church, they will all follow the scriptures. But what if they are not? Oh, I see most of them are doing this. Okay? But it's not according to God's word. But if I'm going to do anything different, they will all laugh. No. What happened if all the young family all reject us? Then we become a family that is all alone. Same test. And worse still, when you come into the leadership, especially we pray that some of you young men, God willing, next time you grow up, you may become future leaders of the church. And then you have to face with all kinds of difficult decisions. Should we make this decision which is according to the doctrine of scriptures? Perhaps with regards to music, perhaps with regards to leadership, perhaps with regards to many other issues. Worldliness, addressing worldliness in the church, should we continue to do it? No. Or perhaps when we address this particular issue, we offend this person who has been my friend from since Ebenezer age, or maybe worse still, from Tabitha's age. From Tabitha's, grow up early now, he has been all along in the church, and then now he has been doing wrongly, and this becomes a serious public sin in the eyes of the people. Should we address it? Because if we address it, he's going to run away, you know, he's going to run away, and then so many of his other friends down here, and they pull away people from the church, tabernacle, in the end only left with Rachel. See? So that is very much exactly what the apostles were facing. And sometimes when you face with such situation again and again and again and again, the tendency to not want to be brave is very, very real. Because you are tired. Why can't I, for once, just obey men rather than God? But that is exactly how the world will work. They will obey men rather than God. They will fear men rather than God. And that's why the people who entered into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 21, remember the first one, first description, were the fearful. Who are the fearful? Exactly the Sadducees down here. The fearful. And so, once again, these scat cats, right, they brought them without violence because they fear the people. They don't want to be stoned, so they brought them and set them before the council and the high priest, and then he asked them, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? Now you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and then you want to bring these men. Right? They didn't even care to utter the name Jesus Christ, because to them, to utter it is unclean. Right, you realize this man, that is how they describe Jesus Christ. Just this man. How did Peter and the other apostles answer that? We ought to obey God rather than men. That is the key. Okay, that is the difference between them and the Sadducees. And then look how they answer. the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Right? So the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. So you and me, we are all Jews. Right? We all share the same common roots, and our roots go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jehovah. So this one living and true God. My God is not different from your God. Okay, but this same God raised up Jesus. But instead, what did you do? You say that we intend to bring this man's blood upon you. But in fact, you are the ones who brought this man's blood upon yourselves. Because you were the one who slew him and hanged him on the tree. You were the ones who ordered him to be crucified. It is not us. Very daring words, very bold words. Yet realize that they were not unnecessarily discourteous. They just simply stated the truth. These are the facts. We tell you so. And this same Jesus, God had exalted him with his right hand. My right hand will be a hand of power to be a prince, right? Obviously prince over Israel, a savior for Israel as well as the people of the world, right? For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are indeed eyewitnesses of these things. And so you want us to say anything falsely? We cannot. We must say what we have seen. What come you want us to say something that is different? Isn't that a perversion of justice? Isn't that a perversion of truth? We cannot do that. Moreover, the Holy Ghost is also witnesses of these things. In other words, the words that we speak, they are not just our own words. The words that we speak, they are words that are given by the Holy Ghost. And so, therefore, if you are going to continue down this road, we plead of you. What you are doing is you are rebelling none other than God. You are rejecting none other than the Holy Ghost. And if you reject the Holy Spirit, you reject God, then there is no salvation for you. So please think very carefully. Sadducees, priests, of whom you all are supposed to be the people to teach the children of Israel the word of God. Please think very carefully what you are doing. They speak all these things with the risk of being caught again, of being executed again, of being ill-treated again, humiliated again, scourged again, and possibly, perhaps even execution. But that is what it means to obey God rather than man. It is not theory, okay? This is not just a story, okay? Remember, this is a historical account. This is what truly happened. And they said for us exactly what it means for us to do today. They are the forerunners. They are the cloud of witnesses. And God willing, when we come to the Reformation period, we will get closer to the Reformation. Right? This year is the 500th year of the Reformation. We will study and we will see even more of such instances whereby the people really stood up to obey God rather than man. If they had not done so today, we probably would not even have a Bible in our hands for us to read, for us to study. But because they obey God rather than man, today we can read of this account to strengthen our faith. It's the Holy Ghost that spoke. And so the choice is this. The words, they are from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Scriptures. Do you now stand with the Holy Spirit? Or do you now go against it? That is the key. True courage will say, I stand with the Holy Ghost. Which is actually supposed to be the easy thing, right? Because we know that the Holy Ghost is God. And yet, we choose to go with the world. And that is unthinkable. We pray that you will make the right choice, young people. Make the right choice. And this starts right now. Right now, when you are studying, when you are making friends right now, serving in Ebenezer, good time to learn, good time to start, good time to build up good foundations. Because if you do not learn how to be brave, not right now, next time in the world, when bigger challenges come your way, you are more likely to falter. But if you learn how to be brave right now, truly to obey God rather than man, to stand up for the truth in your schools, in your CCAs, in church, in your homes, then the Lord will continue to help you to grow and to mature. And God willing, next time when you become the next generation in the church, the same spirit that is found in the apostles here will continue. And then it will be your turn to teach the next generation what it means to be brave. So may the Lord help you all. May the Lord cause you all to be strong like Peter and John. Okay? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks for the encouragement from thy word, the testimony of the saints that have gone before us. Surely, O Lord, our desire is that we too will walk in the Spirit just like how they did. You have used illiterate fishermen even to do thy will, and because of their stand for thee, they have turned the world upside down, which is actually the right side up. And so, Lord, we pray that in our lives too, you will use us even to be powerful witnesses for thee, that our friends too may be able to see Christ. Our desire, O Lord, is to glorify thee in everything. Wilt thou not help us? And so, Lord, where we need to be brave, where we need to stand firm for the truth, continue to help us. Help us always to grow in thy holy scriptures, to love thy word, and to treasure it dearly, and to guard thy word in our hearts. As we end of the night today, after some time of discussion, O Lord, may thou bless us with a good rest as we continue with the 2 other days of camp. Help us to be spiritually refreshed. Help us to be strengthened. And indeed, Lord, we want to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.